Open your Bibles this morning. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. Galatians chapter 2, 15 through 21. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, and that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Let's pray. O most glorious Father in heaven, as we attempt to look at this passage of Scripture today, a passage of Scripture, Father, that encompasses the whole of the gospel, encompasses the true love that you have set upon us, an alien righteousness that you have given to us through faith in Christ. I pray, Father, that we would do rightly with this text this morning, and that we would magnify you, that we would lift up the name of Christ, and that by so doing, that we would celebrate, that we would rejoice in a righteousness that belongs to us because of Christ. That the law has no bounds upon us any longer. That sin is no longer has dominion over us, and wrath no longer to be feared. Father, we praise you this morning, and we thank you for the gift of Christ, the gift of salvation. Lord, bless us with this text this morning. Bless us by edifying us through your Holy Spirit. Let your Spirit work here this morning and give me words that we may all hear from you. Oh, how we praise you and thank you for this time. It is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. This morning's text is quite a text. In some ways, we could take this text and we could break it down verse upon verse and spend week upon week upon it, but I think by doing that, we lose the whole of what Paul is going to give us here. It is interesting because Paul has been building a defense for the gospel and for a defense of his apostleship. And up to this point, we've seen more of his history. We've seen more of how Paul has been bringing to the Galatian churches the evidence of his transformation, the evidence of who he is and how he's been called by Christ to be an apostle. But here, this morning, is where Paul begins to make a turn. And he begins to build the defense of the gospel on doctrine, on the theology that is encompassed throughout Scripture. A truth that has been evident in every page of Scripture, if we only look for it. It is quite interesting that the providential work of God is, I was to preach on this text 2 weeks ago, but as it is, it's been pushed off unintentionally to today. And why this is providential is that in churches all around the world today, this very morning, you are hearing sermons that reflect the Reformation that occurred 500 years ago on October 31st. When Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the Wittenberg Castle door, and unintentionally, this morning, we are going to discuss, we are going to see how the Word of God reflects the main issue of the Reformation: justification by faith alone. You see, we need to recognize that you and I sit here today as brothers and sisters in the Lord based upon us being justified in Christ. We are going to look at this morning, and we are going to magnify the person and work of Jesus Christ. We're going to elevate the goal of His work. As we sit here today, we have to recognize something. We are righteous. Because we don't sit in a righteousness of our own, but an alien righteousness that has been paid by a great price through Jesus Christ. And though there is a place in the Christian life, a properness to understanding the law, when it comes to justification, when it comes to our place and our position with God in Christ Jesus, there is no room for the law. The law stands opposed. And we'll see as Paul brings this out this morning, that the law, when it regards our salvation, when it regards our justification, is a minister of sin. Because that's what it exposes. We will learn that the law in no way was ever intended to justify us, but only to show us our iniquity. Only to show us that we are desperate and undeserving people. Those who must look to another. We must understand that, as Martin Luther once said, that this doctrine of justification by faith alone is what the church stands or falls upon. If we hold to any other view of our salvation than being justified in Christ by faith alone, and the church does not stand where that is preached. So we preach, we teach that all of life is in faith in Christ, to the glory of God, through His Word and through His Word alone. And much of what you're going to hear today is a lot of what Martin Luther said. Because when it comes to this text and his understanding of being justified by faith, there's very few people that can say it any better than he did. So I want to give credit where credit is due. Without having to quote him each time I may say something, I want you to know much of what I will say will be his words. But again, before we begin with the text, I do want to make it clear that as I intend to magnify our righteousness in Christ today, as I intend to make much of Christ Himself and His work, that it should be understood that there is a place for law and works in our life. That is a fruit of our justification. So when you hear today the way that I am going to present things and to put down the law and to magnify Christ, it in no way is making the law bad. But it is putting it in the proper place. So this morning we look at this text and we want to see Christ. We want to see Christ in all His glory. We want to see Christ lifted up. When we look at the first verse here in verse 15 and 16, it's interesting, as Paul begins to express this, he begins by speaking directly to the Jewish believers. Because remember, in Galatia, this was the problem. The Judaizers had come in and was distorting the gospel. They were distorting our justification and saying you must add circumcision, you must add law, you must add these things to faith in Christ in order to be saved. And so he begins by saying, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. He speaks to them in the same way that Christ spoke to Nicodemus. When Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again, he asked Nicodemus, a Pharisee, how you, being a teacher of the law, do not know that you must be born again. This is something they should have known. And he speaks to the Jewish believers in that same way. We, who are Jews by nature and not Gentile sinners, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. He's expressing to them something they already know that should not be foreign to them. He's expressing to them a foundational truth of the church. In one sense, the foundational truth of the church. We are not justified by law, but we are justified by faith in Christ Jesus. I mean, though they were raised in the custom of the Jews, living according to the law, they had circumcision, the old covenant, the patriarchs, etc., they didn't come to faith through that. They came to faith in the faith in Christ, which did away with the law, sin, and wrath. And Paul in no way is saying here, as I've already stated, he in no way is saying that the law is bad. But when it comes to our justification, there is absolutely no room for law. For Christ fulfilled that law. And there's nothing you and I can produce that will add to the work of Christ. Paul spoke against these ordinances because the Judaizers were saying you must add the law to faith to be justified. In Galatians 3, 10 and 11, which we'll look at in great detail in the future, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And I want to point out that it says we shall live by faith. We live by faith in Christ Jesus. We struggle with sin because we tend to forget that our life is a life of faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We cannot be justified by trying to attain something in the law. If we look to the law to be right in this life, even as we walk through it, and not look to our faith in Christ to produce the fruit of that salvation, that justification, then we despise the work of Christ. We have to recognize that when we look to the law in such a way that it's something we are doing, even as a Christian, that has merit, that has righteousness to it, that has anything that should make God turn a glistening eye towards us, we despise the person and work of Jesus Christ. God went to great lengths to give to us salvation. He gave to us his Son. And so as we see Paul addressing the Gentile or the Jewish believers in such a way that they should recognize this truth, bringing this directly against the Judaizers, he takes it to the point of saying, but if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is Christ the minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In this part of the text here, he's making it very clear that it is not Christ who is the minister of sin, but that it is the law that makes us aware of sin. If I seek to build those things again, if I seek to encompass myself back into the law, I make myself once again a transgressor. But it is evident that when we have come to Christ, it is because we've recognized that we are sinners. And that in no way can I accomplish any type of merit that God will look favorably upon. Christ became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, as those who look at ourselves as reformed, we tend to elevate a lot of the times that we're sinners. And we don't magnify enough of the time that we are righteous. Because when we magnify that we are righteous, we don't magnify that we are righteous in and of ourselves, but that we are righteous in Christ. We have an alien righteousness about ourselves. See, we struggle so much with sin because we forget who we are. We forget that we are righteous in Christ. And then we chase the law. I am unworthy. No, you and I are worthy to come before God because of Christ. Because I have a righteousness that has been given to me. Our righteousness exceeds anything that we could ever accomplish in the law. Because it's been accomplished by the divine Savior, the Son of God, who did this work in such a way that we see him as a minister, not of sin. He is not imputing to us a new law that we must follow. He's imputing to us a law of liberty. Liberated from the law. Liberated from sin. Liberated from wrath. We're free. We're free to serve God, not the law. We're free to worship. We're free to love God. You know, Martin Luther, he was a monk. And he struggled so much with sin. He struggled with understanding how he could ever stand right before God. And his mentor told him, he says, just love God. And he says, love God. He says, I hate God half the time. I cannot attain to these things. Before he understood that salvation comes by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ, he was tormented by the law. He was tormented by sin. He was tormented by wrath. But when Christ came, when Christ paid the price, and he recognized that his life, his salvation, his justification was faith in Christ, he was free. Free. Free to worship. Free to serve. Free to love God. You and I have suffered the same things. As believers, there have been times we feel like we just hate God's word because we can't live up to it. We hate the law because it opposes us in so many ways and calls us out to be sinners. But we are not those who strive after the law. We are those who strive after Christ. We strive after righteousness. And it's found only in Christ. Therefore, it is the law. It is the law that we could consider to be the minister of sin. For it reveals our debt. Our debt to God. Payable by an eternal damnation. It is this law that comes at us with the wrath of God. But it is by faith in Christ that we are justified. He is a minister of righteousness. For in Christ we live in a righteousness. We live to righteousness. And in Christ we died to the law and to sin. For in Christ he paid an eternal price. It took an eternal Savior. It took the eternal Son of God to pay the price for our eternal damnation. And so we don't look to the law. We don't look to Christ as a minister of sin. We look at him as a minister of righteousness, of freedom. We look to him in such a way that we rejoice. We rejoice in our salvation and not fear. Fear was of the law. We're freed from that. Looking at verse 19 and 20. It says, I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's interesting how Paul plays with words here. When he says, for I through the law died to the law. What does this mean? That I through the law died to the law. It means this, that because Christ is Lord over the law, and because Christ lived the law perfectly, and because he died to bring salvation to his church, we died to that law. And we're given the law of liberty. So he plays with this, that through the law, we died to the law. The law of liberty. We are dead to the law of sin and death. That we might live to God. You see, this was the problem with the Jewish believers, is they were so indoctrinated in their traditions and their customs, even things that were not even prescribed by God, that they felt that their lives were directed, that they lived not to God, but they lived to the law. They lived to a self-righteous world. They had to produce in themselves something. I mean, Paul, what did he say about himself? When it came to legalistic righteousness, he was blameless. He set himself as a Pharisee above Pharisees. He lived a life that anyone would have looked at him and said, this man is a righteous man. This man lives to the letter of the law. And what does Paul say about that? He considered it refuse, trash, garbage, filth, for the sake of Christ and his righteousness. As the Word of God tells us, that our righteousness, our attempting to live in such a way by the law that God would credit that to us, is filthy rags, putrid, stinking filth. You see, we're not saved only from what we see as sin, but we're saved from our own personal righteousness, which in many ways is greater, a greater offense to God than what we consider to be sin. Because we hold something up to God and said, I'm good enough for you. I've done something that you must reward me for. And God says that a stench to my nostrils. But what God receives from us as a pleasing aroma is when we acknowledge the reality of Christ and him crucified. When we acknowledge a righteousness before God in his Son. When we can boldly stand before the throne of God, wrapped in Christ's robes, and speak to God in a boldness. Because I know that when I am before him, I'm speaking as a righteous man. Because I'm speaking as one who's been imputed with an alien righteousness. And do not have to fear being cast out because of my evilness or my own exaltation. But to be standing before him in such a way that we may rejoice in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Because when Christ was crucified, I was crucified. When Christ lived his life, I lived my life. When Christ died, I died. I died to the law that he died for. And I was risen again with him to live in righteousness, his righteousness. Think of the text that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He doesn't tell us to seek our own, but to seek the righteousness of God, which means to seek Christ. Put your eyes upon Jesus, not on yourself. When we look at ourselves, we will be detestable in our own eyes. We will see ourselves as unworthy. We see ourselves as those who deserve wrath. But when we see ourselves, as Paul is making it very clear we should see ourselves, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is who we are. And we look to that. For Christ is not a minister of sin, but a dispenser of righteousness and the giver of life. Christ is the Lord over law, sin, and death. All who believe in him are delivered from law, delivered from sin, and delivered from death. You sit in fear. You sit in anguish because of your sin. It's because you have forsaken the Savior. And you have looked back to the law as what makes you righteous. And when your focus is gone there, you wonder why you keep going that way. Because just as the Jewish people sought to build a self-righteousness in themselves, fell into sin more and more, and worshiped idols. And made it all about themselves. If you make it about yourself, you're looking to the law. But when you make it about Christ, when you make it about His righteousness in you, you exalt the name of Christ. You exalt the person and the work. You exalt the great manifestation of love that God has given us in Christ. We must look to Christ. For Christ so loved me. He uses these words in here. I, me. The life I live now in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Loved you. Think of this. Think of how big that should be magnified. He loved me. He loved me. And you say the same thing. He loved me. And He gave Himself up for me. Christ loved me so that He gave Himself over to death that I may be handed over to life. And that life I live now by faith in the Son of God, by faith in Christ Jesus, and not according to the law, but according to Christ. According to the liberty, the freedom that I have been given from law, from sin, from death. No fear of wrath, but a freedom to love God, to serve God, a freedom to live in righteousness. We've got to see that our justification is built in Christ. And in Christ alone. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Ponder this for a moment. If you consider that you must live according to the law to be justified, to be accepted by God, if you think that your life is a life that is maintained in Christ because of your adherence to the law, Christ died in vain. For if there is anything in you and me that could attain favor from God, Christ had no need to die. And if there is anything that I can add to His work, if there's anything I can add to His righteousness, then Christ died in vain. This morning we were talking in Sunday school class about the unconditionality of God's love towards us. The unconditionality of our justification. And I made the point to say this. That when it comes to you and I, when it comes to what we must show to God, we must praise God that it is unconditional. There is no condition placed upon you and me. But there is a great conditionality to our justification. Something that is greater than anything you and I could ever attain to. It is so great that Only God Himself could fulfill that condition. That condition is that it took a divine being, like a divine being, the Son of God, to come into His own creation and take on flesh, that He could die for you and me. And He could pay a price that you and I can't pay in any way. We have no value to pay that price. The conditionality of our justification is magnified greater than anything we can ever imagine, because it required the incarnation of God Himself into flesh and His death on a cross. The curse of mankind placed upon the Son of God. That conditionality is so far above anything we can even grapple with. And it shows the magnitude of Christ. It shows the love of Christ. It shows at what lengths God went to save His people. And for you and I to say that we must keep the law in order to be justified means that we reject grace, to deny Christ, to despise His sacrifice, and to be lost. When we chase the law for our justification, we despise the work of God. We spit on grace. Say, I don't need that. I can accomplish it myself. Asking the same questions that Martin Luther asked. Did Christ die? Or did He not die? Was His death worthwhile? Or was it not? If His death was not worthwhile, it follows that righteousness does not come by the law. If His death was worthwhile, it follows that righteousness does not come by law. If what He did was worth the accomplishments that God set it out to be, then there is no justification in the law. But a complete justification in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Why was Christ born anyway? Why was He crucified? Why did He suffer? Why would He do these things if we could be saved by law? Why did He love me? Why did He love me and give Himself up for me? If it was all done to no purpose, if righteousness is to be held by the law, then He did it for no reason at all. But the reality is, He did it because it was necessary. He did it because I can't attain justification through my works. We must come to the understanding that to reject the grace of God, to despise the righteousness of Christ by trying to attain something, to attain something in myself, we deny grace. We deny Christ. We deny our very salvation. To say that Christ died in vain is to make His resurrection, His victory, His glory, His kingdom, heaven, earth, God Himself of no purpose and benefit whatsoever. To live in such a way that we try to magnify ourselves by living towards the law to win favor with God, to be justified, makes no purpose for anything God has done. And it's to make Christ, his death, to be nothing but vanity. Everyone who seeks righteousness without Christ, either by works, merits, satisfaction, actions, or by the law, rejects the grace of God and despises the death of Christ. You and I must lift up Christ and Him crucified. We must make much of Him and little of ourselves. We must seek to live according to faith and faith in Christ. Not faith in faith, but faith in Christ. Faith in what He has done. We must recognize that we are justified. We are righteous and we are holy. We are loved. And we have been given the ability to love God. Because we chase after Christ and not after the law. Not after a righteousness of our own, but after the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Seek God's glory by recognizing His glory. By recognizing our life in Christ. By recognizing that we are dead. Dead to the law. We are dead to sin. And we are dead to death. And we are alive to God in Christ Jesus. And we are alive to righteousness. And we are alive to no longer hate, to no longer fear, to no longer live depressed, but we may live in joy. We may live with the delight of Christ in our hearts. And we may live with an outlook that says one day we will be in the presence of God for all eternity. We will no longer struggle with looking to the law, because our eyes will be turned upon Christ. Our eyes will be turned upon the Lord of glory. Our eyes will be turned on the Lord of our salvation. And we will rejoice and praise Him. We will magnify Him as we should be doing today. So if you would like to glorify God in all that you do, then seek Him. Seek to live by faith in Christ. Do not seek to set yourself up in such a place that you are trying to win the favor that has already been bought for you in Christ. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, the precious gift of Your Son, the precious gift of our salvation, justified by faith alone, by us putting our hope solely and squarely upon Christ and Christ alone for our justification. We stand in Your presence this very hour, praying to You because of Christ, united as Your body in Christ, and for no other reason, and in no other way. For we have nothing to offer You, but You have given it to us all in Christ. So we stand before You in Him, an alien righteousness, an alien holiness. Oh, Father, how I pray this very day, this very hour, that You would instill in us, that You would instill in us a reality of life that is based in Christ and His work. We praise You this very day. We thank You for Your work. We thank You, Father, for the love that is beyond our comprehension that you have put upon us as your church. I pray now, Father, that you would allow the words of this text this morning to be planted in us in such a way, Lord, that it causes us to live towards Christ. I praise you for this time. It is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.